He already did some big things. He did some big things at the cross. Amen. I mean, that was big. That was real big. Hallelujah. And so manifesting what he's already done, the revelation, the manifestation of that, not just information, but manifestation of his presence of that word and making that alive and real. Amen. It's a time and a season. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. It's a time and a season. For I believe to see the manifestation of the power of God in our lives. Amen. Again, I wanted to say happy Father's Day and honor the men in the house this morning for being here, for being who you are in the body of Christ. We need you. We need pillars. We need priests of the house. We need godly examples. Amen. You know, you've heard me say many times before, and most of you know that I work in a kindergarten class, my day job. And probably if I was to tell, we get a lot of flack sometimes, public schools and things like that. But if I was to say the one problem that we see in the public school is the breakdown of family, where moms and dads are not stepping up to be moms and dads, and kids are suffering a lot of times because of choices that we make and directions that we go and things like that. And so it's a time to stand up. Amen. It's a time to stand up and be counted and be who God's called you to be. And sometimes we think that the greatest callings are behind pulpits or on big platforms or across the seas. But honestly, I think probably the greatest calling in your life, first and foremost, is to your family. The greatest ministry that Noah had was to his family. And the greatest testimony he had was everybody got on board. He didn't leave anybody behind. Noah didn't leave anybody behind. All of his family got on board. See, I want all my family on board. Yep. Amen. Amen. The gospel can't be just about me and just about my relationship, but what we impart to the next generations and not just to my children, but to every generation, to all households. Because I believe that, you know, I preached a message back a couple years ago about the lioness. I think it was a couple years ago. I don't know. About the lioness and how lionesses operate in the pride. And one of the things is they do is they greet and groom each other, but they also take care of each other's cubs. That a lioness will nurse somebody else's cubs and vice versa. And I love that aspect of that. As women of God and as men of God, we watch out for each other's cubs. See, I care about your kids too. I pray for your kids too. I hope you're praying for my kids. Amen. Because we watch out. I believe in the pride and in the community of believers. I believe we watch out for each other's soul. We can watch out for each other's kids and each other's well-being. Amen. And the scripture plainly tells us that when one member suffers, we all suffer. Amen. I hope you're connected enough that when one member suffers, we all suffer because we care. You know, I thought not too long ago, if you think that you can come be a part of us and not take a little part of our heart, doesn't work that way. When we fall in love with you, we just fall in love with you, and that's the way it is. No matter where we go or what happens, what transpires in our life, we are connected. And I thought as I came to church this morning, whew, camp cry. That I'm a proud pastor because I have watched this team over the last month just step into their places and do what needs to be done and make preparation and do it with a joyful heart. See, it's one thing to do it because you have to do it. It's another thing to do it because you're driven to do it, and you do it with a joyful heart. And you do it as unto the Lord. If you do it for me, you're going to get burnt out. You're going to get tired of it. But if you do it as unto the Lord, his blessings to you are eternal, and they're priceless. And I know that God will bless you back for what you give. We give not to get blessed back. We give because we are so blessed. And we are blessed to give. And we are dispensers of glory, dispensers of that blessing. And I got a little emotional this morning. I made a post, a tribute to my dad, and got a little emotional about that because camp always starts on Father's Day, so always thinking about him and in a good way. And that's a good thing. And I was thinking this morning, we call him the closer or the finisher because he just had a way at church camp with kids getting filled with the Holy Ghost, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe it's because they had confidence in him. They knew if he laid hands on them, that was it. It was done. It was a done deal. But he had a way of encouraging kids to just release the Holy Ghost in them and kids getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he would just point and we'd go get them and he'd lay hands on them and that was it. And I told you earlier, one of the things that he would say to us is, what's a soul worth? Is it worth your time? Is it worth your money? Is it worth your treasures? Is it worth your energy? What is a soul worth? And I think all of us are called and dispensed to be soul winners. Yeah. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. That we spread the gospel, that we share the good news of the gospel of Jesus everywhere that we go. And your mission field may be when you leave this place today, your mission field begins. It may not be across the season. To some it may. Some of you may feel that tug. Some of you may feel that call. But God has placed us in the body as it pleases him. He's pleased to place you where you are. He's pleased to anoint you to do what he's called you to do. I've told you before, I'm not much of a gardener. I love gardens. I love flowers and all of that kind of stuff. But we don't have dirt at our house. We have rock. We have a lot of rock. And so, because we had a lot of excavating done. And so what's growing there is growing in raised beds or flower pots or whatever. And so I'm trying to figure out what works in a flower pot and what does not. What works in heat and what does not. I'm still figuring that out because the ones I had in the heat, they're not making it. They were doing good, but then this 95-degree weather came, and now they're a little wilty. So I'm babying them along. But I had one pot of flowers, and I had it sitting out by the door. And every morning I would look at that pot of flowers, and it was wilted. And I would water it, and by evening it was okay. But the next morning it was wilted. It was not thriving. It just was not doing well. And it was sort of a daisy-looking thing. I don't know what it's called. It was green and had got yellow flowers on it. That's all I know. And so I opted to move it to the backyard, and I put it more in a shady spot. And yesterday when I come out and look at that pot, it is so full of bloom, and it is so beautiful. And it is so healthy looking. And I haven't even remembered to water it. But I changed its environment and put it where it could thrive. And now all of a sudden that pot that I thought wasn't going to make it has found a spot. It's working for it. And it's functioning and it's thriving. And so here's what I got to tell you this morning. You got to find the slot that works for you and then just flow with it. If you try to fit in someplace else that it's not you and you're not functioning, you're not thriving there, you're just surviving, maybe you're in the environment. God wants to change some, maybe in some environmental things around you to place you in an area where you cannot just survive but thrive in beauty. And so that pot is just doing amazing back there in the back under the maple tree where it gets some rain, but it's getting some protection and some shade. Amen? And I find sometimes when I try to plug myself in somewhere where I feel like a fish out of water, I find out sometimes I might can get by there and I might can live through it, but I'm not thriving there. But God's got a place for me and a spot in the body of Christ that when I function where he's placed me and out of the anointing he's given me to be what he's called me to be, that I don't have to just survive and get through it, but I can thrive and flow in what God has anointed me to be. Aren't you thankful that we're a many-membered body? And you know, the scripture talks about that we have comely parts and uncomely parts. Some more than others, my husband said. That wasn't directed to me, right? Just kidding. Just kidding. But it tells us that we have comely parts and uncomely parts, right? Some people have pretty feet, some people don't. That's what you all were thinking, right? No. But how many know every part of our body is necessary, whether comely or uncomely? It is necessary to the function, and sometimes the ones that we think are the uncomely parts are the most functional and most important part. When you find out it's not functioning, the body's in an uproar. Amen? When the tummy gets out of whack, it ain't good. Right? But it's necessary. There's a part that it plays in our body. The body is an amazing machine. It's built to heal itself. Did you know that? It's built to heal itself. And it's an amazing machine, and all of the different functions and parts of the body that we have no clue about even really what all they do. They're there for a reason, and they're there for a function. And so, you know, we don't always see every part of the body function, right? I don't really see your all's hearts beating. I don't see your lungs working. May hear your tummy growl here in a minute, but I'm pretty confident that your heart is beating because you're still alive, right? You're still breathing and you're still alive. So we know that there are things functioning that we don't always see. In the body of Christ, there are those functions that we don't always see. Those who are behind the scenes sometimes that are functioning, that are doing things that are critical to the functioning and the body of Christ. Amen? And so, you know, and in saying that, I want to honor my husband this morning too on Father's Day. He's a good man. He's got my back. He is my rock, and I honor him as a man of God. And many people say, are you the pastor too? He'll tell you, nope. nor does he choose to be. That's his own choosing. Not. But he is as much a part of this ministry as I am, absolutely as much a part of this ministry. But, you know, I was studying, and I talked to you about Nehemiah earlier. There was Nehemiah and Ezra, you know them, that worked together. And they were instrumental in building the wall. But the scripture said, as I was reading yesterday, that Nehemiah was the building contractor and Ezra was the scholar and the teacher. I'm like, Lord, you've made us a Nehemiah and an Ezra. He gave me a building contractor to work with the scholar and the teacher. So we worked together pretty well. And so I'm thankful for that, and I honor him this morning. But, you know, as I was sharing with you, that in Nehemiah chapter 6, I won't read it this morning for sake of time, but it said that Nehemiah had a vision to rebuild the wall. He had worked for the king. He was a cupbearer to the king. And yet he saw the city of Jerusalem in ruins, and the walls had been torn down, and the gates had been torn, and the sacred things had been messed with. They had been destroyed. I mean, you know, it's real common right now to want to mess with the sacred things. The things that we see as honorable and the things that we see as important. I was thinking, I guess I did a lot of thinking this week, but I was thinking as I come down the road yesterday or this morning or something, I was thinking about, you know, we talk about there's no, you know, prayer in school these days, and we want to take prayer out of, you know, the Congress and out of the political arena, and it's been under attack. Can I just say it like that? A lot of that has been under attack. But I thought, you know what, as long as I'm in the public school system, there'll always be prayer in school. See, the way we infiltrate that system is you send folks in who know how to pray. You send folks in who are spirit-filled. You send folks into arenas that have prayer, that know the power of prayer. You'll never take prayer out of school. You'll never take prayer out of the government. You'll never take prayer out of the marketplace as long as you know how to pray. And I don't even have to pray out loud. And I was thinking one time they thought that a tornado was coming through the school, and so we did a drill, and they brought us in, and they had us kneel down out, you know, all out and tuck and roll, and we were doing the whole thing, you know, getting ready for a tornado come through. And I had a little gal beside me who'd had head lice all year, and she was tucked into my lap in the hall as we were leaned down like this, and so I'm praying Holy Ghost. I'm hugging her, but I'm praying, You may not think there's prayer in this school, but let me tell you what, I'm covering every little baby right here and right now with a prayer and power of the Holy Spirit over this house. And if a tornado is going to touch down, he's going to have to stand in the way of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe in the power of prayer. And so the only way we'll ever take it out of the government, take it out of our marketplaces, or take it out of the school is if you quit doing it. And if you take it out of your home, as long as you got it in your home, you can't take it out of the places where you infiltrate. And you are sent out to infiltrate the kingdom. You are strategically placed. Wherever you go, you are strategically placed in the kingdom of God as the body, as a many-membered body. And when you walk through, I'll walk through places and I'll just be praying over it. I walked down the street in town the other day. I'm just speaking in tongues and praying in the Holy Ghost over some things in the town. I believe we can ride through our town and pray over our town and pray and believe God to have addictions broken, have houses fixed, homes restored and renewed. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to change things. Hallelujah. You know, I got called on back some time ago to go pray over the Senate. Can I just tell you, there's prayer in our Senate. In our Capitol building in West Virginia, there's prayer. I was honored to be called, but I was more honored to know that they do it. That they open the assembly and they start with prayer. Hallelujah. And that we were able to pray over the state of West Virginia, pray over our senators, our congressmen, and our leaders, and said, God, lead us, guide us, direct us, and help us to look to you. Help us to honor our forefathers by the foundations that were laid and stand up and declare the word of the Lord in this time and in this season. Nehemiah saw a system that was broke down. He saw gates that weren't functioning. How many know we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and with praise? There are some gates we can enter into. There are some things that we can build up. There's things that need to be restored. And when Sanballat and Tobiah came along and started to speak against the work that they were doing, he said, if a fox walks on that wall, it's going to fall down. There's no way those people are going to be able to do what they got to do out there this week. And it's never going to work what you're thinking. It can't be done. And if a fox walks on the wall, it's going to fall down. Nehemiah's response in the Message Bible is this: I'm doing a good work and I can't come down. I'm doing a work. Don't even try to bring me down. I'm going to keep my focus on what I'm doing. I'm not going to allow sickness, disease, despair, poverty, finance, whatever it is, to cause my focus to be on anything other than what God has caused us to build up this week in this place and in this house. I'm doing a work and I'm not coming down. Hallelujah. Can you say, I'm doing a work and I'm not coming down? My focus is going to stay on the wall. My focus is not on every adverse voice, every voice of adversity, every voice of despair, every voice of fear, every voice of defeat that tries to bring me down off of the wall. I don't have time to listen to those voices. I'm doing a good work and I can't come down. Hallelujah. Sometimes we give our ear over to voices that speak into our ear anything other than what God says is true of us. If you're hearing anything in your ear, anything other than what God's spoken is true of you, it's a voice of adversity. Silence it. Talk to the hand. Amen. Just talk to the hand. We don't have time for the voice of adversity. Hallelujah.
Different than what their teachers and their principals and their parents think. And so I always try to listen to the word of the Holy Ghost and the voice of truth about that child in front of me instead of what somebody else says. And then that is what I speak back to that child, because that is the voice that is missing in their life. And I think that no matter where we are and what we do, you're right, we have to talk to the hand, because the voice of truth will tell us exactly what we need to know and exactly what we need to say instead of listening to what everybody else is saying around us.
We have a voice of discernment. Hallelujah.
You know, I always admired your dad's brother, because he always said, don't say you can't, say you can't.
That's. Brother Curtis. Hey, Brother Curtis, he'll be in after a bit. He's 70-some years old and still comes to church camp. And keeps this place clean and shining. And he say, don't say you tan't, I know you tan.
Yes. First, I went to Winchester yesterday, and bless his heart, he was out at Dave Kidwell's church sweeping the porch.
He was at Dave Kidwell's church sweeping the porch. Oh, Brother Curtis. That man lives to clean and to minister. He loves Jesus and he loves kids.
Hallelujah. You talk about prayer in school and that kind of stuff. And I like to encourage people that when you see something going wrong in anywhere, if it's a grocery store, where it is, I mean, I've made it a point to go in my classroom and I pray over the doorknobs, the desks, the cubbies, the folders, yes, everything. Because there's sometimes some of these kids, it's like Hannah says, they come from stuff that you just don't understand. And if the only way you can get God into their houses is by anointing their book bag, then I'm going to anoint their book bag. I mean, we could say that prayer's not in school. I mean, they've taken it out, but that's not true. I mean, there's plenty of Christian ladies in there in that school, and we're praying over people. And when they look at me and they say something, and they'll look at me and they'll say something that's about God or Jesus, and I'm like, well, I'm not supposed to tell them about Jesus, but when they open up their mouth and they say about it, then, I'm going for it. You know, I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, they might fire me, but I don't think God would let that happen. I mean, they might try, but I don't think God would let that happen. But if you're having problems in your house, and with your kids, you go home and pray over their beds, pray over their doorknob, the door lintels. I remember times when the kids were young, and I was overwrought with different things. Not that they were bad kids, but I prayed over their pellets. I prayed over their beds. I prayed over their cars. I prayed over their cars to keep them safe while they were going down the road. And I've told Aaron, you really done that? Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong. I remember one time the Lord dealt with me here in this church, and I remember going through this whole church and praying over every door lintel in this church. Maybe I was crazy, but I know that the Lord does, if they've done it in the Bible, it can't be wrong to do it now, I'm going to go over there this afternoon, and I'm going to pray over that room I got over there, because I got about 25 kids coming. So I'm going to pray over the chairs, and I'm going to pray over the tables. The Lord remind me of that, and that's what I'm going to do.
There you go. There you go. And Aaron, she had to fast and pray over her. That was it.
Yeah, but Aaron couldn't go to bed at night. She'd come down, and she'd have to confess all her sins.
Amen. But we infiltrate in many different areas of our life. You can be a thermostat or a thermometer, and there's a big difference. A thermometer can tell you the temperature in the room, but a thermostat has the power to change it. And man, you can walk into a circumstance and diffuse a situation just by the power of your words. And in the week, sometimes we get a little bit tired or get grouchy or hot or whatever, and sometimes it's easy to get words to be snippy or, things like that. But boy, you can just diffuse the situation by just changing the words, changing a tone, changing how you approach people, whether it be a camper or a kid, and being able to show respect and honor. And when you show respect and honor, then that reciprocates back to you. And so in everything that we do it with a right heart and a right spirit and a right attitude. And hey, if you have a rough moment, just let it be a moment. Don't make it a rough day. Don't make it a rough week. Just let it be a rough moment and move on, all right? And allow yourself that grace. I just want to read out of Romans chapter 12 real quick here in the Message Bible, and then we'll go. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Romans 12 and verse 1. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed, from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you, living then as every one of you does in pure grace. It's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of the human body, and we're all human, but we're spirit-filled. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped-off finger or a cut-off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelous functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. Thank God we are not in competition. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. And if you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are, and don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. I don't know that I could say that any more plain, any more clearly than what Romans chapter 12 says it in the Message Bible. We are members of his body, the body of Christ, members in particular, not just this body of believers at Word of Deliverance, but the corporate body of the body of Christ, believers all over the world. Amen? And we're part of that body. Be comfortable in who God has called you to be. Be part of the body. That doesn't mean we have to carry the whole load or do everything, but find our part, function in what God has called you to do, and things will go much smoother when we function as God has placed us in the body. Now, I'm thankful that Daniel Heron is here, and I've taught him a lot of the tricks that he does, but I'm hoping that he'll have some new. I have not 1 ounce of that creativity in my body to do that. But I'm thankful that he does. Aren't you thankful that God has placed that talent and that ability in him and that creativity? There are so many ways to use your usefulness, your creativity in the body of Christ. And it might not look like somebody else's gift, but it's important. It's valued and it's needed in the body of Christ. It might be figuring out how to cut up a watermelon. That's a little private joke, but they'll get that. You know, it may be just being available and say, you know, is the problem? Here am I, Lord. Send me. What will you have me to do? What am I? What can I do? What have you called me to do in the body of Christ? And not just about this week. This week will come and go, and we'll be thankful for everything that God does in it. But, you know, our calling is every day. He said, take your life, your ordinary, everyday life, and place it before the Lord. When you get up in the morning, Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it. I will function in it. Who do you want me to connect with to do today? Who can I minister to, and what have you called me to in this day? Because we never get this day back again. Amen. We don't get this day back again. So let's make the best of what God has placed us in and called us to do. And the corporate body of Christ has so many different facets of talents and ability. But aren't you glad? I had a teacher one time tell me about my daughter. She said, I wish I had a whole class full just like her. Right. And I thought that was quite a compliment. And her next teacher, I said something to her, you know, to that. She said, yeah. And she said, oh, no, I would not want one class with all of them exactly the same. And I always thought that was a valid point, because as much as it'd be nice to have, you know, what she was saying if she was calm and behaved, I'm sure is what she was saying. But, you know, it's the spunky and the lively ones, too, that keep you on your toes and keep you challenged and have add those giggles to your day and all of those kind of things. None of our children are exactly the same, nor would you want them to be. My mom had 7 children. We're all very different. We're alike in some ways, but we're all very different. She had a set of twins, and they're even different, right? So, because God has designed us according to who he has made us to be. And so we can be comfortable in that and be confident in that. But know in this house that every one of us are called, chosen, and purposed for such a time as this. As Mordecai said to Esther, who knows, but perhaps this is the moment for which you have been created. Perhaps this is your moment and the moment for which you have been created. And so I just want to challenge you in that today. Challenge you to minister and flow this week and every week in your anointing, in your place, in your purpose. And pray and ask God, Lord, what is my purpose? What is my place? What would you have me to do? And see, what I always come to understand is it's not one thing forever. Sometimes the Lord will have you working in this department, but then he might move you into this area, and he might move you into this area, because we have many different anointings and talents and callings. And so I'm thankful for the power of God in our life, aren't you? Yes. Aren't you thankful for your encounter with the presence of Jesus, salvation, the presence of his Holy Spirit, his anointing and his hand on your life from the littlest to the oldest this week, to be ministered to be touched, and the power of God to change who we are. Amen. I'm praying for a touch of the Lord this week. A spark. A rekindling. Amen. Fire. Amen. Just like fire shut up in my bones. Amen. 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 A little child shall lead them. We've had many kids get a spark here and go home and homes and lives and be changed because somebody said we need to do this as a family.
Go ahead. Church came.
meeting Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We're talking about just, you know, being used wherever God sends you. I was in the hospital just recently for 11 days. And there was a little old lady that came in the last couple of days that I was there. And, you know, all my life I've been told that there's a call of God on my life. And I've asked God many times, what is that calling? What am I supposed to do? And this little old lady, she was starting to have dementia, and they had her on some medications that made her a little bit more out of her head. And at night, she would try to get out of bed, and she was not supposed to get out of bed. They were afraid she would fall and whatnot. And one night, she kept talking, and I talked to her just to kind of keep her calmed and keep her focused on my voice and not what her head was telling her. But at one point, she said, I'm scared. And so I got up out of my bed, and I walked over, and I leaned into the bed with her, and I just hugged her, and I prayed with her, and I sang to her. And when I got back into my bed, she was asleep. I sang to her till she fell asleep. When I got back into my bed, the Lord told me I was not only doing the work of my father, but my earthly father, because he used to go into the hospitals and minister to people, some he didn't even know, but he knew the family or something like that. And the nurse had told the family that I had prayed with her and sang with her and stuff, and they really thanked me. I asked for my address and stuff so they could keep me posted on how she was and all. But I just thank God that despite how I was feeling and my, you know, issues, that I was able for God to still be able to use me in that situation.
Amen. Infiltrate. Infiltrate. Amen. Let's stand this morning. If you're here this morning, you've not received Jesus as your personal Savior, we open the altar to you. The altar is always open here. Come on down, church, and to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Hallelujah. As Beth sings this song.
I will come and bow down.